Well, our friends Charles and Karen express their gratitude to you all for their time here with us. They are from Fort Worth, Texas, and they said they can't quit talking about what they experienced here. So they live in one of the meccas of the country, and they come to a little place here and find what the world is searching for, Jesus, more of Jesus. And so praise the Lord. That's a feather in your cap. I also want to report that I had told you that we were praying Bob Davis's wife, Katie. They had had a report of, well, it was like they weren't giving her any time to live after a blood test, and that was when I had suggested to him that now we were going to quit talking to the big guy upstairs and start talking about the way things are, and don't talk stupid anymore, but talk faith. And, well, the most recent report is that they brought her home and they found out that it's a very treatable form of leukemia, and feeling very relieved. And I said, now you lay hands on her in the name of Jesus and command her spleen to get into its right form and shape. And anyway, it's talking to a whole different person who comes closer to Jesus and not stands afar off. And so praise God for that. We're so grateful to God that God is who God is. And he does what he says he will do. I want to read something to you. I read this to Vicki. It's out of Bill Winston's book. And, you know, we can get into a trap of walking as the Gentiles walk. He writes in this book, don't walk as the Gentiles. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. That's in Ephesians 4. He says, if the Bible tells us not to walk like the Gentiles in the vanity of our minds, then that must mean that it is possible for us to be born again and walk in darkness. God would not tell us not to do something unless we were capable of doing it. He also says that walking in the vanity of our carnal thinking is not how we learn Christ. We learn Christ by abiding in his word. Grace and peace, in 2 Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We literally partake of the divine nature of God and Jesus Christ by simply believing and living by the promises of God in his word. Grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God and Christ. The more we know him, the more we love him, and the more we can receive all he wants to give us. Let me tell you why the body of Christ is not walking in all things pertaining unto life and godliness. A believer, let's call him Ray, will hear the word of God at church, get all excited about what he heard, and then go home and tell his friends Bubba and Lucretia about it. Bill Winston is a black preacher, by the way, so that's where these kind of names come from, okay? Bubba and Lucretia aren't saved. Or maybe they are saved and not serving God right now. All of a sudden, they come against Ray. And they argue that nothing he's telling them makes sense. They tell him he's being brainwashed. They tell him that the pastor just wants his money. They remind Ray of all the hypocrisy and sin in the church today, and they ask him, how can you trust any of them? These people are thinking like Gentiles. Their understanding is dark. They have no light because they are not abiding in the truth of God's word or following his spirit. Yet, Ray will listen to them and consider what they say because he loves them and he cares about what they think. The question is, does he love them and care what they think more than he loves God and what he thinks? Ray listens, and instead of taking everything Bubba and Lucretia say about God and asking him for wisdom, he begins to think for himself. He doesn't open his Bible. He doesn't pray in the Spirit and meditate in the Word. Before you know it, he begins backing off his prayer time. He still goes to church, but more and more, he has a skeptical, critical attitude. Soon, he stops giving, and eventually, he stops going to church altogether. Our friend Ray listened to the people who walked like the Gentiles instead of sticking to the Word and the Spirit. He forgot that he was not born again by his work or anyone else's work. He was born again through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and that's how he's supposed to live. Jesus is his life. He is the way and the truth and the life. Bubba and Lucretia don't know or love God, and they will never see him if Ray doesn't begin to renew his mind and get back into fellowship with God and other believers. Ray will sink into living the low life if he listens to his friends. And what's worse, his friends will never see Jesus in Ray until he is transformed by God's word and loves the saints regardless of their faults and failures. Again, love is the key here. We must love God and know God to succeed in life, and we cannot know him or love him apart from his word. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which it would seem as though saying school's out would go against that. But no, that's not true. Because even though school is out, we are ever learning. The thing about it is that once school is out, you need to put it into practice. Now basically, when we're born again, we graduate. We graduate into the kingdom of God. We graduate into the kingdom of light. And in so doing, we put on Christ. And when we put on Christ, we put on various things that are the principles in the kingdom of God. We put them on and we begin to walk them out. We begin to understand. When we begin to understand, I am born again. I am a new creature in Christ. So I have certain rights and entitlements in that. Now, if we are not taught, or if we don't study, or if we don't grow, then we can stop. In this little illustration of Ray and Bubba and Lucretia, Ray caught a glimpse and was excited about it. But he allowed it to be stolen from him, and instead of proving the theory, he just accepted what they said and he would go backwards. But we can't walk as the Gentiles walk. Let me read to you from the Message Bible of He is Your Life, the third chapter, the second chapter of Colossians. I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone. None of us are in this alone. But the thing is that what we are in, then we need to surround ourselves with who we are in. If you watch a football game, the quarterback from one team doesn't go talk to the coach from the other team to find out what he should do for his team. He talks to his coach. He doesn't go talk to the linebacker from the other team to see what he thinks about the play that he's going to run. He talks to his team and tells his team what they're going to do, and the design is to defeat that linebacker. Okay? So we don't go to the world to get understanding of the word. And we need to recognize if we are getting Gentile input. Okay? Now, the enemy lied to my wife tonight and told her, "You don't know what to do." And feeling a little bit in despair over the situation, she said, "You're right, I don't know what to do." Of course she knows what to do. She's a child of God, a mighty woman of faith. She knows to pray. Sure, sometimes there are things that discourage us. But a Gentile came in and said, "Your son is wandering around the streets and he's hard to see." Well, he's obviously not impossible to see. She saw him. Well, the same voice that would tell you something like that would tell you your son's a ranger now. He'll be dead in 6 months. He'll die in his first deployment. "I don't know what I'm going to do. He'll probably die in his first deployment." But we don't walk as the Gentiles walk. We walk as more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Now Paul says, "I want you woven into the tapestry of love. I want you in touch with everything there is to know of God. If we want to live the high life of God in Christ Jesus, then we need to know what there is of God. In order to know the things of God, we can't allow the things of the world to steal the things of God from us. We can't allow what we see in the natural to rob us of what we know in the spiritual. That we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And we are more than conquerors as we together are more than conquerors. The victory of one encourages others, right? Sue said, we're more than conquerors because you're more than a conqueror. Because we are encouraged as we go. Paul was encouraging them because Paul knew the way. He had experienced the way. So he says, if you do this, if you know in touch with everything there is to know about God, then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ. What can God do? What can God do? You know what we can get in a trap of is we've got to do it. I've got to do something because it doesn't look like God is doing anything. And oftentimes when we resort to that, what we end up doing is no longer showing the life of Christ, but showing the life of one that is without Christ. Just as confused and just as estranged and just as far away rather than revealing the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. He says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw people to you. But man, there are things that just arrest us. But school's out. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. Everything we need is in that mystery and it's nowhere else to be found. Nowhere else. We all have experienced what there is in a computer. We all have used a search engine. We all have seen pages and pages and pages of things that you can research. And we can look for answers anywhere and everywhere about anything and everything, but every answer pertaining to life and godliness is in Him. And so school is out, but we remain students. We remain students, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as we experience the application of the truth. Many, many people who are professionals will say that what they learned in school amounted to about nothing compared to what they learned the first 2 months they were out of school, the first little bit that they were on a job. My cousin, who's a veterinarian, said that, you know, I mean, he'd been to school for 7 years by the time he went out to intern, and he learned more in the first 2 weeks he was interning than he learned all the time he was in school, he said. Now, that may seem like an exaggeration, but the application made it real. All of the other things that were stored up became more real because they were applied. And see, that is the thing, that if we don't apply the principles of God, then it just remains information. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after some other so-called mysterious or the secret. In other words, like Bubba and Lucretia led Ray right out of what Ray had. Ray had a piece of life, and Bubba and Lucretia, because he loved them and because he cared about them, wandered away. Ray wandered away with Bubba and Lucretia rather than saying, well, you watch me and you'll see. So that then Bubba and Lucretia would have either come in or they would have never been able to say they haven't seen, because Ray would have overcome the Gentile thinking, would have produced the life, and Bubba and Lucretia would have said, wow, that's really something. If we look just at that example, we can see time and time and time and time again where things around us try to bring us down. Well, Paul goes on to say, I'm a long way off, true. And you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side. I'm right beside you. I'm delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways that you conduct your affairs, and I'm impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. Now, my counsel for you, with their solid substance and their faith in Christ, my counsel for you is simple and it's straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master, now live in Him. Go ahead with what you've been given. We go to the Lord, we receive from the Lord, and there's 100,000, million, billion things that try to keep us from going ahead with what we've been given. There's troubles without, there's troubles within, there's confusions, there's everything else. And Paul says, My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master, now live in Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. Put it into practice. Every school's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it, and let your living spill over into thanksgiving. It's true, when we live it, it spills over into thanksgiving, because as we live it, it brings life and we're thankful for life. We see the result of the application. We see it happen. You know, Charles and Karen were here, and Charles was doing what we were doing 25 years ago. Remember that? It was 26 years ago, 26 years ago, Vicki and I went. It turns out it was the first healing school of Charles and Frances Hunter, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they were doing that. And we all came back and we were doing that. And we were seeing results, the application of it. And God doesn't change. But you see, what God does is respond to faith. Paul said, impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ, now my counsel for you is just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master, now live in Him. School's out. Quit studying. Start applying. Now, he's not saying quit studying Christ, but it's school's out. It's time to apply it. As I said in the devotion, I was glad to be done with school when I finally got done with school. I wouldn't have finished college except for I had the desire to be a pilot. And if I'd have known that I wasn't going to be a pilot, I'd have probably found something to do 2 years before I did. As it turned out, I wasn't a pilot, but now I was graduated and I had to go to work. And I went to work with something that wasn't even my education, but I knew something about making money. That's what I really wanted to do in the first place. But I had to go to work. And yes, I remember the first time that I rode my bicycle past the campus and kids were just laying around on the campus, and I thought, well, that was one good thing about school. Didn't have to work all the time. But it didn't cause me to want to go back and get more school. Didn't have any desire for that. School was out. It was time to apply it. When Paul is speaking and he's telling people, I think he's addressing something that was alive then and is alive now in the church, and that is that people go to school like on Sunday, but never get a diploma or never begin to apply it, really apply it. Never allowing it to overflow into thanksgiving. And since they don't ever allow it to overflow into thanksgiving, well, then they just need to go back to school another week. And then they go back to school another week. And then they go back to school another week. But then they are in the Gentile world for six other days. And nothing happening. And so sometimes they look at those where something is happening and they say, well, it just doesn't happen for me that way. Well, it doesn't happen for you that way because you're not applying it. But if you're applying it, it's happening. And sometimes you have to apply it more than once. It's like trying to paint a wall red. They can tell you it's a single coat process, but I haven't found it yet. For some reason, the darkest color takes more to get it to apply. But you apply it until it's done because it just looks pretty strange until you're done with it. And some spots do seem to cover with one coat. But I haven't yet found where every spot does. And sometimes some spots don't seem to cover with two coats, and it's the same as the wall. But it doesn't make any difference. You keep applying it, and that's the thing, the application of it. Many people just spend a little time in school but never really apply it to their lives. And as a result, they do not enjoy the life that God intends them to enjoy. And if they aren't enjoying the life that God intends them to enjoy, then it never spills over onto anybody else so that they can enjoy it. Now, we aren't doing this in order to earn something from God. We are doing this so that it will produce fruit in our life and that our fruit might last and that that fruit might in turn entice someone else to enjoy the fruit. When I was a kid, I peddled apples all over the neighborhood. We picked apples off the tree, put them in the bag, and I would drive around to the neighbors and sell them for 25 cents a sack or something like that. Making big bucks. We probably gave away a lot more than we got sold, but hey, it sure beat picking up the piles under the tree. But having the fruit, and you know, if you've got good fruit, it's like, you know, somebody, if you had a nice tree on the street where everybody could see it, there'd be a lot of people help themselves to the tree. We went out to Slager's, used their ladder to take their apples. They offered them to us. We didn't steal them. They told us how good the fruit was, and so we went and partook of it. We believed them. We didn't sit home and say, well, I don't think those apples will be much good. When Jordan graduated from Ranger School, another Ranger story, I really did. I thought, you know, I mean, he's been at that for a long time. There should be a break somewhere. I suspected there might not be. But I thought, you know, maybe a little recoup time. But they had him applying what he was doing within 48 hours. Even after somebody had told him, don't show up. If you do, they'll put you to work. Somebody else said, come in and go to work. And we can see, we can understand that him applying what he went through, his very life depends on it in different ways. And it also, his life and other people's lives depend upon him doing it right, and his life depends upon them doing it right. We can see that. I mean, that's obvious. It needs to be just as obvious to us to apply the gospel. For our own sake. You see, the other thing that we get besides the diploma and all that it entitles us to when we are born again, we also get that target on our back that the enemy wants to destroy us. And so it is to our own benefit that we apply what we learn and have it producing fruit in our life so that we overcome the works of the enemy. Because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy us in any way that the enemy possibly can. So, you've been taught, now do what you've been taught, school's out, quit studying the subject and start living it, and let your living spill over into thanksgiving. And watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. Watch out for people who will try to take from you what you've learned and what you know to be true. Watch out for them. It is very easy to just jump on their wagon with them, not even recognizing it. It doesn't even seem like it's so far away, but pretty soon we're moving down in life rather than up in life. What do we love most? God and His Word? Or something else? I love my wife dearly, but I won't agree with what she said. Because it's not true. She's more than a conqueror. Now, I wouldn't do her any favors if I said, no, honey, yeah, I know, it's just really tough. I won't do you any favors by doing that, would I? No, because then we could both just go along and feel sorry for ourselves. Well, there's nothing to feel sorry about. If God isn't bigger than anything else, if God isn't bigger than that, he's not bigger than anything. Is he? Where is he? Are we more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens, except over this part in your life, or this part in your life, or this part in your life, or this part in your life? There are just those things that are beyond his reach? No, we know better than that. We learned Christ as the victor. We learned Christ as the one who even overcame death. That's how we learned Christ. And if he can do that, then there's nothing that's impossible, right? So if this is how we learned Christ, then this is how we need to apply Christ. And if we have to apply another coat so it covers, apply another coat. And if we have to apply another coat so it covers, apply another coat until it is what it is, what it's intended to be. School's out. We've graduated. The day we're born again, we've graduated. They tell me, I don't know anything about it, but they tell me, like in the hippie movement, man, those hippies were getting saved on the beach and going out and healing the sick. Still high. Smoking pot and healing the sick. Because, man, they heard about Jesus. And he was the coolest thing. He even made pot better. He was more to be desired than anything. And man, this is what he did. Well, a lot of those people, when Jesus taught them at the beach, they were sort of like the hippies. They just believed what he said. Because what he said was the best thing they'd ever heard. And they had grown up, but as they had grown up, there had been those who came along and tried to drag him down. And Paul said, don't get wrapped up in that, man. Hey, keep applying it. Keep applying it. People will try to tell you, well, now don't rush into this. You've got to be well grounded. You've got to have it all down pat. I tell you what, just start applying it in simple faith. When I was first saved, I heard a guy preach one time, and he was telling about how Paul, he didn't even say a word for 14 years. And I said, wait a minute, my Bible says that his sight came back and he immediately began to teach. Oh, yeah. They don't look at the fact that, well, he was off in the desert teaching. Well, he was teaching somebody. And after having taught for all those years, he came back and just ran it past the Jew boys, the other boys, Peter and the guys, to see if they agreed with him. And it turned out, God was right all along. They agreed with him. He just went and applied it. And mighty miracles were done because he applied it. Mighty miracles were done because people had heard that the one who was persecuting him was now praising Jesus. And since he had been persecuting and was now praising, maybe there was something to it. And so he applied it, and then they applied it, and then those that they applied it to someone else. School's out. Now do what you've been taught. Quit just studying the subject and start living it. Isn't this what we want, the life that's in Christ Jesus? Don't we want to see it manifested? Don't we want to see it manifested and spilling over in joy and into glory for other people so that it gets on them and they get joy out of it too and it spills over onto them? There's a lot of rejoicing over the elections from yesterday. But something's got to come of the elections. And the thing that will come the best of it is if the Word of God is applied, morals are applied, and it will spill over into fruit, and the fruit will be glorious to behold, And things will begin to come back up, and the foundations of our country will begin to be solidly grounded on the faith in Christ. Because that's our hope. And we carry this treasure in an earthen vessel. And we apply it by the power of the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we have this privilege. It's a privilege. It's not a burden, it's a privilege. It's not a burden, it's an opportunity. It's not a burden, it's a promise. So we keep getting up because we've been selected. And we've been selected that our fruit might be produced and that our fruit might last. And that it might spill over into a thanksgiving. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. Giving thanks unto God. Man, that just blesses God. Speaking the truth and giving thanks to Him for performing it because He watches over it to perform it. Don't be afraid to apply it. Don't hesitate to apply it. In fact, be excited to apply it with anticipation of something happening. That's when the greatest manifestations happen, when the truth is being applied and people are responding to the truth. And yes, indeed, God shows off sometimes. Not because He has to show off, but because He's so excited to have the opportunity. And He'll do that to you alone in your chair, together with your friends or your family, in the middle of strangers. If we will just apply it, if we will just live it, just let it loose. Let the Spirit of God loose in our lives. And then behold the glory of God. I tell you that He has been on a mission since before time began. But I really believe that we've come to a place, another one of those times, where heaven is stirred up, where God is stirred up, ready for people to get stirred up, so that the manifestation of the glory of God will begin to spill over and overflow. We'll begin to see it in greater and greater measure, because in the midst of all of the turmoil, there's more and more people looking for something good to spill. It's got to be something real. Got to be something wonderful. And we know that the only thing real and the only thing wonderful is Jesus Christ. What a great time to be a graduate. What a great time to have that diploma. What a great time to have understanding that is ready to be applied. You have so much understanding. You've put so much time and so much thought and so much love and so much worship into the Lord that now it's just wanting to be applied in greater and greater and greater and greater measure. And we will behold the glory of God. I am confident of this. So confident of this. To me it is such a confirmation to have people come from places where there's so many big places and yet recognize the realness, the presence of the Spirit of God. To be refreshed. Because God was blessed. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.